I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Here is an inspiring and interesting story. Ken Levine is a 35-year-old tenor who lives in Chemainus, B.C., where he joins me on the line from now. His dream was to sing on stage at New York's Carnegie Hall. He managed to do just that thanks to his ingenuity and the support of his family and community. He raised about $200,000 to rent out Carnegie Hall, and this past January he took the stage and won over hardened New York audiences. Critics called his voice liquid gold, and that this was a tenor whose time has come. I suppose if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And so he comes to Vancouver Saturday, the 21st of March, performing a mix of opera, musical theater, and folk at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster. KenLevine.com is his website. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Ken Levine. Good morning, Mr. Levine.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on all of this.
Thank you very much.
The dream to perform on Carnegie Hall stage is one that many a performer has. When and how did this dream begin for you?
For me, the dream to sing on the stage at Carnegie Hall happened shortly after I began to study study at the University of Victoria, and I had never, my world of classical music, my exposure to classical music was pretty limited until I started studying voice there. I'd never really heard, I'd never been to an opera, I didn't even know what the three tenors were, but as my eyes were opened at the University of Victoria and studying in the music program there, I realized that, wow, this is incredible wealth of music that I'd never heard of before. And always, of course, you know, the pinnacle of success was being able to perform a concert on the stage at Carnegie Hall. And throughout the years, it had always become this sort of dream of mine to step, you know, onto the stage of this historic hall and be able to add my name to that list of fantastic musicians that have you know, performed there in the past and be part of that history. And so that's, you know, going on 10 years or so, and now here I am, you know, about, I guess, flash forward to last year, and I was having a conversation with someone, and that dream was always sort of, you know, just background noise for me. And I was talking to someone, and they said, you know, what was it that you wanted to do with your career? What is it that you wanted to do, you know, with your life when you first began this adventure in singing and performing? And I said, kind of sheepishly, you know, well, I always kind of wanted to sing at Carnegie Hall. And she said, well, what's stopping you? And from then on, I was like, well, I don't really have an answer for that. I don't really know what's stopping me. So I began that investigation, and that's led me to perform at Carnegie Hall.
Now, had you sung all through your life?
Well, I was always singing. My parents used to joke that they couldn't shut me up. I was always singing in the shower and whatnot. My mother was always very supportive, as my father as well, and they began to recognize that maybe there might be something there. He obviously likes it. So when I was about 9 years old, I began to take voice lessons with a private teacher, and she suggested that I try out for an amateur musical that they were putting on, the Oliver, and I got the part, and I sort of again, you know, opened my eyes to the world of theater and the musicals, and that's you know, I really realized that, hey, there's other weirdos in the world just like me who like music and enjoy the theater, and it really felt like, wow, this is something that I could really sink my teeth in. It's, you know, I really wanted to be a part of that. So I guess to answer your question, yeah, I've been singing for a very long time.
And so you did some musical theater. Did you did you do that as well as go to school, or did you go to school and then continue a career in music?
Well, you fall into these things and fall out of it. As I was a teenager, I had dreams of becoming a basketball star. You know, singing wasn't all that cool in high school. Let me put it that way. And then I was a choir teacher at high school who'd recognized that maybe, you know, I have some talent, and pushed me into the choir, or rather dragooned me into the choir, and before I knew it, I was singing solos in the high school choir, and that led me to pursue a music degree at the University of Victoria, and then again, you know, I did my I finished up at the university and kept on with it. And, you know, things began to flow naturally. I began getting cast in small roles in the local opera company, and then with the symphony doing oratorios, and then I began to study more abroad in New York and in the UK and across Canada. And sort of one thing led to another, you know. I always, in the back of my mind was to pursue this dream, because it was amazing. I had one of those galvanizing moments, you know, when I think every performer has these moments when they realize, you know, this is for me. And when I was, again, you know, back to my first year of university, I didn't know who any famous singers were, and I had never heard of Pavarotti, or rather I had heard of Pavarotti, but I'd never heard him sing. And someone gave me a disc, a CD, and it's about 6 months into my degree there, and you should listen to this guy, he's pretty good. And I listened to it, and I was just like, it was like electricity flowing through my body. It was just like, this is amazing. I'd never heard anybody sound so dramatic and powerful and have a voice so beautiful. And I was like, yes, I want to do that. I want to learn how to do that. And that certainly gave me some focus.
Has there been some criticism about the way you went about all this, that maybe it wasn't a totally artistic process, that maybe there was a reason why you hadn't made it to Carnegie Hall or rooms like that already?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think for me, the people that when I announced, you know, I began to say, you know, I really want to do this. I want to sing at Carnegie Hall. I'm going to sing at Carnegie Hall. The people that I talked to said, well, it's about time. You know, and they said, absolutely, you know, this is your dream. We want to help you in your dream. We want to help you succeed at that. And I think, you know, more by and large, people believed that this was a natural progression, and this is something that needed to happen. You know, I think that I felt very strongly that I really didn't want to wait. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in life. We have so many people say that they, you know, this is their dream to do it, but they hem and haw, and they don't, you know, in a world of woulda, shoulda, coulda, you know, to actually say, you know, I'm going to do something, and, you know, to heck with what other people think, is something that's pretty unique. And I felt that, you know, I'm not going to let the keys to my dream rest in someone else's hands. I'm going to do this and do it on my own terms if I have to. And that's exactly what happened.
Who's Mike McNeil?
Oh, Matt McNeil.
Matt McNeil, is it?
Yeah, Matt McNeil. Matt McNeil is a good friend, and he's a Victoria publican, and he owns and runs the Victoria Pub Company, and which is about three pubs on Vancouver Island, or rather in Victoria. And he's someone. He's one of those people that when he heard about this, and we talked to him about this, he said, yes, absolutely, you know, you're putting everything you have into this dream. The least I can do is support you in some small way. And it turned out that that some small way was basically a very, very big way for us. And he hosted a pub night at the opulent and really quite stunning pub that he runs called the Varden Banker in Victoria.
And so he helped you raise the money. Your parents did, and your wife did as well, right?
Well, that's right. Yeah, and also we had many donations flow in from friends and fans across Canada, through LPC, and especially in Vancouver Island, people who heard about this story and really just wanted to get behind it and help.
Did you have to go into debt?
Yes, yeah, a little bit. You know, I'm delighted to say that everyone's been paid and that all the bills are paid for Carnegie Hall, but it was a very big price tag to put on a show like this. Carnegie Hall, obviously, I mean, it's a fantastic, well, one of the greatest concert halls in the world, and it comes with a price tag, as you may well imagine. And we decided that if we only have one opportunity, or rather, I decided if I only have one opportunity to sing there, I want to do it in a big, bold way. And we managed to get in touch with the people at the New York Pops, and the New York Pops organization, a very, very fine establishment that plays very similar style of music to what I do, and they were a natural fit, and they saw the benefit to it and were delighted to accompany me on that. So, but again, you know, that that comes at a certain cost as well. So
you're on stage. At any moment on stage, do you think to yourself, was there a moment of validation, perhaps, that I belong here?
Well, I really feel that that moment came, you know, at the very end, when we finished the final song and the people leapt to their feet and we had a standing ovation. It was like, I believe that this is, absolutely, I belong here. You know, this is the greatest concert stage in the world, no doubt. But, I deserve, or rather, I've earned it at this point to stand on the stage.
So March 21st, you'll be performing here in Vancouver. Is this going to be the first time that you've performed here?
First time that I performed at the Orpheum, for sure. I performed in smaller, much smaller venues. The Orpheum is like Vancouver's Carnegie Hall. I mean, it's a huge, huge place. And, I would encourage people that that maybe have heard this story to come and check out the show, come and buy tickets and see the show and find out why I was so committed to making this dream of, you know, singing at Carnegie Hall happen. Because, really it's kind of my reintroduction to the West Coast after singing at Carnegie Hall.
Indeed. Now, tenors. We know the three tenors. We know, Mario Lanza and that sort of thing. Is that the sort of material that you'll be singing? Granada, Nessun Dorma, things like that?
Well, I like to draw from a lot of different sources when I'm making my concerts. I feel that they need to be, the audience needs to be entertained as well as moved. I feel that I can best do that and best be myself by drawing from a lot of the music that I can deliver, and that music is classical repertoire. I am a classically trained tenor, but also the great musical theater pieces and ballads as well that I grew up singing. You know, as I said, you know, my first introduction to music at any sort of scale was doing musicals and amateur musicals in around Victoria. And that really left an impression on me. I really feel confident and comfortable in that genre, as well as I write my own material and many of my contemporaries as well, the Andrea Bocelli and Josh Groban. That type of material falls nicely into what it is that I present.
In terms of performers, who do you admire?
I admire the voice and personality of Pavarotti. He's larger than life persona, I really do admire his artistry and his incredible, incredible voice. I do admire Andrea Bocelli's his ability to straddle both the classical world and the popular music world is quite remarkable in today's age, though. I've always, when I say Pavarotti, I also include Domingo as well and Carreras and the great tenors of the past, because, I mean, really they're are linked to how opera should be performed and certainly carrying on that tradition. I try in my way to do that as well. And, we could just talk tenors all day long.
Yeah. Yeah, do you listen to other forms of music, other types of music?
Oh yeah, goodness me, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I'd go crazy if I listened only opera all the time. I'm not saying that would drive one crazy. I'm just saying that for me, I wasn't always just singing either musical theater or opera. You know, I love a lot of classic rock. I love music in all its forms. The music that excites me is as varied as the repertoire that I present in my shows.
How do you care for your voice? Do you avoid certain foods, certain drinks, perhaps? Do you practice every day?
I try to practice every day. Not always possible. I have two little girls, 5 and 3, and they take exception to when I start, laying down the high notes in the middle of their favorite television program.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I try to practice every day. As far as, you know, avoiding foods or, you know, this and that, I try, I don't have a specific regimen, you know. I guess that's probably different than a lot of singers who are very protective of their voices, of their instruments. And, you know, you really should be. Perhaps I should probably take a bit of their advice or follow their example, but I'm a little bit more reckless at the moment and just about eat and drink just about anything.
Now, I'm sure you've done this. We've all done this. We've picked up a microphone and sang it karaoke. But there really isn't anything like singing in front of an orchestra, is there?
Oh, really? I like to say that singing in front of an orchestra is like being strapped to the front end of a freight train. It's an exhilarating, powerful feeling. You have this immense number of musicians behind you, and you're really surfing a fantastic wave. I mean, you're just riding on all that energy that's being created, and very, very different than singing karaoke.
Yeah. So what's the future for you? Will you tour with this show, or will you join an opera company, perhaps? Will you perform in musical theater?
Well, I think all of the above. I think there's no limitations in terms of what, you know, one can do with their career. And certainly I think I proved that by taking on this challenge of performing at Carnegie Hall, that whatever it is that I want to do. And you know, it all includes, you know, performing and taking the show on the road, as it were, and performing across Canada and throughout North America. That I can do that, and I can make that happen.
This is a great story, Ken. Congratulations again, and break a leg, and we'll see you on the 21st.
Yeah, see you on the 21st. Take care.
Yeah, the website for more is kenlevine.com. Ticketmaster for tickets. The concert is March 21st at the Orpheum. The tenor, Ken Levine, on the line. I'm Joseph Plata.